Hello, it's Friday, the 26th of April. I'm Miranda Sawyer and I can get uptight about birds' nests too. Welcome back to Papercuts, the modern newspaper review, where we try and get the papers to work together as a team for the good of the group, but they keep arguing and forming little popcorn gangs and going off to sulk instead. And if you like what we do, then why not send a message to three of your friends with a link to papercutsshow.co.uk and tell them why you like us? Maybe you could mention Ava Santina's brilliant insights into the joy of headlines. Stop shaking your head, Ava. Anyway, let's see if they subscribe. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. SNP'd off. Humza Yousaf has lost all his friends in the Scottish Parliament and now he might lose his job. Bridget Jones Part 73. Is it possible for older single women to be happy? The papers don't think so. And can it get any better? Why Ryan Gosling is the king of movies. Welcome to Papercuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Papercuts, where we're wondering who'll be sitting on that Sheffield bench at 8:20 a.m. tomorrow. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is Politics Joe correspondent and proud cowboy boot lady. It's Ava Santina. Hi, Ava.
Good morning.
And also with us is comedian and hardcore sneaker queen. It's Athena Kublenu. Hi, Athena.
Good morning.
So what have we got on the front pages today? Ava, you have the serious papers.
The serious papers, or the broadsheets, as you like to call them, even if they're not a broadsheet. sorry. Let me just get catty.
The big and small ones.
Let me just get catty.
The big and small ones with the long words.
Yes. Okay, so the Daily Telegraph, the biggest paper, you might say. You can't read this on the tube. Too big.
Yeah, too big.
So they're going with Rwanda. Apparently it's a threat to Ireland because migrants are now pouring into Ireland because they can't come into the UK.
Yeah,
they're coming very little evidence for that.
Yeah, Northern Ireland into the south of Ireland.
The problem is when you get, you know, you've done this story now so many times from every angle, you've got to find something fresh. And good for them, they found something. And then next to that is a picture of Humza Yousaf, or Humza Useless, if you're Alex Salmond. His future hangs in the balance. He might be having to resign as first minister. On the Times, apparently patients with skin cancer are going to get customised jabs to target tumours.
That's good news.
It can also target lung cancer, apparently. It's very exciting. And at the bottom of the paper, MI5 checks for academics to curb the threat from China.
Okay.
And then on The Guardian, a much better paper to read on the tube, more compact, easier to open. That is all about Humza Yousaf. He's in peril, as we've heard. The Greens are going to back the no confidence motion, which means he might have to resign. And on the front of the eye, again, the cancer jab.
Okay, great. Okay, and what have you got, Athena?
In the funnies.
In the fun papers.
In the funnies, the Daily Mail is leading with thieves hit shops 1,000 times a day and attacks on staff double. When will the police start doing their jobs?
When?
They're just sitting around eating donuts. When are you going to get up and start doing your job, policemen? They can answer that. The Sun leads with a quite shocking headline. Gigs to be a dad again at 50. How did he manage that at 50?
Do you know what
I
mean?
You know, I don't know how he did that. He must have had some kind of assistance from that that billionaire that's trying to stay young, because I don't know how he did that. 50 years old, ancient. The Mirror leads with Save Our Cup replays, because the FA Cup replays have been ditched. And also, new Jill Dando lead uncovered, and her Jenny Bond is talking about that. The Star leads with Baldrick's cunning plan to save the planet. Turnips.
Sounds good.
Turnips.
Yeah.
Maybe we just eat turnips, I think. I'm a vegan. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
We've been saying it.
Okay. So look, just before we leave the papers, there is a very small but highly scary story on the front of The Guardian about Harvey Weinstein and his conviction being overturned. Ava, what's going on here?
Yeah, so this is in 2020, his conviction for sexual offences. So he went to the New York Court of Appeals and in a 4-3 decision, they overturned that ruling. But he's not coming out of prison quite yet because there are other sexual offences that he has been convicted for.
But there's a kind of consequence to this ruling as well, isn't there?
Yes. So the prosecution, which are the victims, they are now calling for a retrial. But actually, what's fascinating here is the judge, Judge Madeleine Singers, she actually accused the ruling majority, so this is in the Court of Appeal in New York, of whitewashing the facts to conform to a he said, she said narrative, adding that the appeals court was participating in a disturbing trend of overturning juries' guilty verdicts in cases involving sexual violence. So Ashley Judd, who's one of the first people to have gone public with allegations against Weinstein, she's called the ruling a betrayal, and she wants to go back to court and go again. But that means that all the victims have to drag up all of their previous experiences. I mean, can you imagine? You actually finally get a guilty verdict, which is hard enough to achieve when you are a victim of sexual assault, and then some court overturns it.
By one vote.
By one vote.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
Now, on the front page of The Guardian is a big story about Humza Yousaf, who is leader of the SNP and Scotland's first minister, and he has got himself into a bit of a political pickle. Ava, what has been happening?
So on Thursday, Humza Yousaf announced that he would be withdrawing the SNP from the Bute House Agreement. Now, that's the power-sharing agreement between the Greens and the SNP, who've been ruling Scotland. Now, he did this because the Greens looked like they were going to withdraw from it. So his power was already hanging in the balance. And this has all been over the climate row that erupted earlier this week when the SNP said that they weren't going to be able to hit their climate targets, their net zero targets, because Westminster hadn't been giving them enough money to assist them in helping to reach those targets. Now, obviously, that caused a bit of a furore, particularly amongst the Scottish Conservatives, because they were arguing, well, actually, you have been given quite a large amount of money and you just haven't budgeted it properly. Now where we're at is there's going to be this vote of no confidence, and that was put down by, you guessed it, the Scottish Conservatives. And Labour and Lib Dems in Scotland both agreed that they were going to back the no confidence vote. Yesterday, the Greens announced that they would also back the no confidence vote. And so that was a big problem for Humza Yousaf, because that means curtains.
But they're going to back that no confidence vote essentially because he sacked them. So he broke the Bute agreement and said, do you know what? I don't need you anymore. Like, so off you go. So then that means he's completely isolated. Is that right? So he's just got the SNP on his side in this no confidence vote, and then the Greens and Labour and Lib Dems and the Tories, everyone on the other side. So he hasn't got enough votes to get through it. Is that right?
Yeah. So normally what happens when you're in a power sharing agreement, or when you're in a sort of coalition with another party, if you decide to kick them out, normally they just sort of bend over and go, that's absolutely fine. We didn't like being in power in the first place. And they just let you get away with it.
Right.
But shockingly, the Greens are not taking this lying down. So anyway, all of the power now lies in the hands of Ash Reagan, who you might remember contested Humza Yousaf for the leadership before he won it. Now, Ash Reagan is she's very, very Christian. She's very opposed to the gender ideology that the SNP have. So when there was this debate with Nicola Sturgeon before she left about whether transgender people would be able to self-ID, she was vehemently opposed to it.
Yeah.
So today, there'll be a lot of conversations between Ash Reagan and Humza Yousaf, and it's likely she'll be on the phone saying, listen, drop the gender stuff. You need to actually secure another referendum for Scotland, and then I'll support you.
Wow. Okay. It sounds kind of almost like America. You know those situations where everything is really tightly balanced, and there's one, I hate to use the word, loony, who, like, everyone has to court to kind of get on their side. Is that the situation?
Yeah, pretty much. And she's off with, she defected to Alex Salmond's Alapa party. Or yeah. Alba party.
Alba is such a weird name for a party.
But do you know what?
Sounds like hair. Like, you know, shampoo. Okay, so he's basically got himself in this huge pickle by saying goodbye to the Greens, and everybody's on the wrong side, and he has to chat up this one person over the weekend to get them on his side and get through the no confidence vote, which is on
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Breaking news. Breaking news as we sat down to record this podcast, Humza Yousaf announced that it was announced that he would not be appearing at a speech he was planning to give today in Glasgow about Scottish independence. So is the pressure getting to him?
So what's he doing instead then? Just phoning people up going, please vote for me?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, ringing around like some kind of American senator, begging for their support.
It does seem a bit mad for him to have said, right, okay, I don't need you anymore, to the Greens. Is that just me?
It's bad politicking, really. Yeah. It's bad politicking, maybe speaks to his inexperience, but it doesn't make any sense. Strange decision making. And what he needs to do is just book a spa date for Ashley. Just we got the weekend.
Yeah.
And there's lots of lovely like retreats in Scotland. You know, something really nice, cozy. Get your nails done. Get your feet done. Really feminine. Lean into that. She loves that. Clearly, you know, girl yourself up, love. You know what I mean? Lean into the woman, your womanhood. You know, maybe that might earn the vote back. I don't know.
That's true. So if she does that all weekend, and then he sees her on Monday.
Yeah, get her
maybe
some
for a nice brunch.
You know, give her a woman basket. Send a woman basket to her house. Potpourri. You know. And a bit of impulse.
Herbal tea.
Herbal tea, definitely.
Yeah. And a candle.
A foot mask.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And the full set of like leather bound Harry Potters. And that might win her over.
Okay.
Humza, you got this.
Yeah,
you got this.
I think it's
signed
good.
By J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Like with you always knew, Ash, what a woman was.
Now, in the Mail and the Telegraph, we're very excited to see a couple of pieces by eminent lady newspaper regulars. One is by Liz Jones, that's in the Mail, and one is by Petronella Wyatt. So just to do a summary before we start, if you don't know them, Liz Jones tends to write about her terrible love life, and Petronella tends to write about anything she wants because she once had an affair with Boris Johnson, and so the Telegraph has the hots for her. So, Athena, what are they on about?
What are they on about? Let's do this. Let's do them one at a time. Petronella Wyatt, her story, and I'll just read the headline verbatim. Feminism has left women of my generation single, childless, and depressed. And she basically gives us a little potted history of her life where she met Margaret Thatcher as a child and went to private school, which is... went to private school and then lived through the feminism of like the 70s and 80s. And I think she interpreted that as being instructed to not have a man in her life, to not have children and to earn lots of money and to have what men have had. And now she's 54, probably a bit hungover and childless. And she is blaming everybody except for herself. We should remind everybody that Margaret Thatcher was married and had children. Mm. So I think there was a bit of crossed wires there in terms of what the communication was.
Also, she was about seven when she met her, which is not... I mean, I imagine if you were seven and meeting Margaret Thatcher, that's genuinely scary.
Well, you still got skid marks, so you're not thinking about marriage. You're thinking about your skid marks.
That was so left field.
You're 7 years old, you know, and it's the 80s, so you almost definitely have skid marks. You know, because you know,
they sew you into your vest.
Yeah, basically. So it's a very sad piece when you read beneath the lines, I think, but it's also very angry on her part. And she described herself as having depression in this piece, which is obviously serious. And she clearly wants to convey sadness, but her sadness is blamed on feminism for telling her she doesn't need children and a man. I would personally just... getting in a helicopter, rising above situation, I'd start to look at your personality. That might be, I mean, lots of people want children, whether they're men and women, and lots of people want relationships, whether they're men and women. And sometimes you get those things and sometimes you don't get those things. And society isn't always the reason, generally speaking.
And also it's that weird thing, because she's kind of my age, you know, we're the same generation. And she basically says, look, all the women who are our age who don't have a stable relationship and children are really depressed. My three closest friends are women without children who are my age. They have a brilliant life. I'm constantly jealous. They're always out. They have a lovely flat. Nothing is messy. They don't worry about where the money is going to go to because it goes on them.
She says all her single friends are depressed. And I would say the common denominator is that she's their friends and not like they're single. Like, you can look at lots of things they have in their life and look at what's consistent. So, yes, fine. No children, no partner. But also you. But lots of single people are unhappy. Lots of single people are fucking thrilled with it. And I can see why, because nurseries cost £1,500 a month. Just so you know, they cost £1,500 a month, okay?
It makes me feel sick every time.
It's literally, I have no future. I have no pension. I have nothing. These children will be my carers. And that's why I have to be so nice to them. When they say, I don't like my dinner, I'll get you another one. I'll get you another one. Because one day you'll be cutting up my food. So whatever you want, love, you ask for it, you get it. But you know, like, you know, not to patronize everybody here, but society is made up of a kaleidoscope of people and lifestyle choices. And I'm pretty sure people of her age weren't all told not to have children, because everywhere I fucking look, I see children. Yeah.
So, it didn't work.
Yeah, like, it's not everybody, right?
It's such an organic conservative take that she met Margaret Thatcher and thought, I'm not going to have children.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, like, what books, what were you reading out of that conversation?
Like, it's so weird. It's like meeting Santa. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think, you know what my vocation is, to just hand out presents to everybody.
And imagine being the kind of human that people meet and think, I'm not making another one of that. That's really bad. Like, yeah. Let's not make any more humans. So just generally a strange take, but also quite sad. I feel sad for her, as, you know, yeah, she obviously regrets her life choices, but those are your choices, Petronella.
Okay, and then shall we move to Liz Jones, who's also always sad?
Yes, yes. Liz Jones has written a piece about reconnecting with her childhood friend. I'm going to read her headline verbatim too. We were inseparable until she stole the boy I fancied. But when I tracked Karen down 33 years later, it made me question my whole life. So she tells a story about living in Southend with her best mate, Karen. And one day she was going to meet a guy called Ali. I'm as shocked as you are. it's true, she was. But she couldn't meet him because she got called home by her mum. True story, because her granddad had been knocked off a bike. So she couldn't meet Ali. But guess who could meet Ali? Karen.
What?
And Karen got off with Ali. She pulled him. They had a relationship, but then she went to university. Ali got jealous and she dumped Ali. So I'm sorry, Liz, but you dodged the bullet there.
Yeah.
You dodged the bullet.
Plus, Liz, as soon as she met, so as soon as Karen met Ali and went out with him, Liz just went, no, okay, bye. And wouldn't be friends with her anymore. Yeah.
And it's like, she stole the boy I fancied. You never had him.
Since
when did fancying someone get them branded with your name? Very odd. Like, and there's loads of boys, Liz, like easy come, easy go. But these are all things you say to teenagers in hindsight. So she never got over that. She ditched a friend. And then decades later, she was like, I'd like to see my friend again. So this is something she does that's really weird. She goes to school reunion. Her friend Karen isn't there. She learns that Karen lives in Hong Kong. She just books a flight to Hong Kong.
Stop it.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine just like living in Hong Kong, like living your best life, and suddenly you get this phone call and it's Liz Jones. And you've gone all the way to Hong Kong, you know, to get...
Is she with Ali at this point?
No. So Ali ditched her because because Karen went to university to... Well, Liz's version of the story is that because Karen went to university, Ali didn't like it, so they split up. So this all happened when they were young.
Very Petronella coded.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. Like,
she must have met Thatcher.
Exactly. You get an education, you repel men.
Yeah.
You know, if you're illiterate, men just... It's like a man opposite of a magnet. Yeah. You just repel men if you're literate. Even now, I'm repelling men right now. I read this piece. And now men are just stopping the podcast. Oh my God.
There is a man in the corner of the room and he has actually gotten closer and closer to the wall. So he started reading out that paper.
He's vomiting. He's retching his breakfast up.
He's crawling out.
All of this education, it's bringing him out in hives. And anyway, she meets Karen in Hong Kong. Apparently, Karen has had two husbands and three children, and she's kind of happy, but not very happy. And Liz uses that to conclude that even though Liz seems to be unhappy in her single life, she must be happy because Karen isn't that happy.
I love this.
Yeah.
It's just constant
competitiveness, isn't it?
That take sucks.
It's so bad. It's so bad. The thing that's weird about both of those pieces is essentially it's just saying, like, as it always does, is you can't be happy, women, and especially you can't be happy unless you've got a man and children. That's it.
Yeah,
the whole thing is just like, let's just remind everyone, feminism was about choice. So you can have agency in your life and choose what you'd like to do with your life. And if your life hasn't worked out, you should definitely feel regret. But it hasn't worked out because someone has told you you weren't allowed to have a choice. And I think that's the bottom line, Petronella and Liz.
Yeah, maybe they should just get together. Now, here at Paper Cuts, we love our headlines, as you know, and we love them so much we've invented a game that lets them be their truly best selves. Yes, it's time for Fix a Headline, where we find a good story with a bad headline and ask you to think up a better one. This week, we found one in The Sun, which has revealed that 4 in 10 Brits, it's always Brits, isn't it? have used a washing machine as an improvised sex toy. Their headline... Our dirty laundry, which definitely doesn't hit the spot. If you think you can do better, and you really can, just tag your suggestion with Fix a Headline and send it to @PaperCutsShow on Threads or X. There is an exclusive Paper Cuts t-shirt at stake. What about today, Ava, though? Do you have any good headlines?
This is horrifying. This is totally horrifying. Okay, so there was a zookeeper and a panda started attacking her in front of like all these onlookers. Okay, one pawed at her head and one seemed to nibble her neck. Not like that. And then one panda ran off, leaving the keeper with a ripped shirt and scratch marks on her shoulder. And then one started to eat her midriff.
Oi!
In front of a group of
that's a bit bad.
Shocked visitors.
I bet they were shocked.
I mean, you know, it really does. Why do we keep putting these animals in captivity? They don't like it.
Mm.
Anyway, the headline's Kung Fu Panda.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Yeah.
I'm totally horrified by that. That is shocking. Okay, there's a robot priest in the Star.
Of course.
Well. Created by AI, was defrocked. Sorry, that's so childish to laugh at that.
What, defrocked. The word defrocked?
After just one day when parishioners kicked off. The virtual Father Justin was set up by US religious network Catholic Answers to tend to the needs of the flock online.
Mm.
But then he was excommunicated after he upset churchgoers.
Okay, fine.
Oh, I don't know. The headline is down with this sort of robot priest. What does that mean?
Because it's down with this sort of thing, was from Father Ted.
But and down with this sort of rhyme with robot priest, robot it doesn't priest. Really work.
So it was an AI priest.
It should be down with this sort of thong.
But then that doesn't work for the priest.
Oh, is he not wearing a thong?
No, he needs a robot.
Oh.
I don't Why think he was ever naked. I don't know where I got that from.
It's defrocked. You suddenly thought they'd literally taken his clothes off.
Right, so he's fully clothed during all of this. But he's not, he's just not a good priest.
Okay, Athena, you've got the Sun.
I've got the Sun. So Emmanuel Macron has sparked a major spat with Rishi Sunak by branding the Rwanda plan a betrayal of European values. It's Macron.
It's Macron.
Because his name's Macron.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, we get that. Like that. It's quite neat.
Oh, this one. A prankster has changed a sign on a pothole-ridden road named Patching Hall Name. It reads Patch the Holes Lane, and the headline is Going Through a Rough Patch.
That sucks.
It's okay.
That sucks.
Patching Hall Lane, he changed it to Patch the Holes Lane, and that's, I mean, I don't know. If
you're trying your best there, but don't give it credit. It doesn't deserve it.
Going Through a Rough Patch. Yeah. I don't know. If we just talk about potholes too much in this country, we should just learn to live with them now.
Yeah, but potholes, I have to say, they're a really big deal in tabloids. For some reason, they attract quite a lot of media attention. So if you put something about a pothole and you put a reporter standing in the pothole, like literally, you know, people respond.
It's always funny seeing someone from the neck up. in a ditch.
In the road.
Yeah,
but imagine if you got an asylum seeker to create a pothole.
That would be perfect.
The
tabloids would be all over it.
The country would self-explode. Yeah. Farage, yeah. Pretty Patel, Braverman. Oh, God, you know, she would just start vibrating. That would just take her up to, like, dial her up to number 11. You know what I mean?
It really would.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeed Avasi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, we are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, in The Guardian, actually on the cover, is a piece entitled How Ryan Gosling Changed Cinema. Of course, they put it on the cover so they could have a little picture of Ryan Gosling. But this is quite an interesting piece. It's over two pages. Ava, how has the lovely Ryan changed things other than by being Ken?
Well, he's very complicated. Mm. He's a very complicated man. So the actor's self-satirising alpha male has now become white-hot box office, and that's because he started out by being hot, but now he's funny.
Yeah.
So he's the ultimate Hollywood starlet. He is very good-looking, but because he's also very, very funny, he's stolen everyone's hearts. Now, I actually think, it's not mentioned in here, but it should have been, you know, this guy's just talking about films, all right? I'm here for the vibes.
Yeah.
And where he showed really good vibes was at one award ceremony when Ryan Gosling got up to talk about his wife and how amazing his wife had been and been, at, you know, being the mother of his children. And without her, he would have never been able to live his dream.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
hadn't stayed
because
at home.
She was Eva Mendes as well, who was like amazing.
Oh, yeah. You don't leave her at home.
No, God.
You leave me at home. You don't leave her at home.
No, literally, you'd be locked to her next to you at all times.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, all the girls fancy him now because he's funny. Yeah. And that just, and that, you know, that this is very nice, I think, for mothers of young boys, because you can tell them it's not about looks. It really is about being funny.
Well, it's kind of about both with him, isn't it? I mean, I don't particularly find him attractive, but I know that lots of people do. And I think that, that kind of part of the point of the funniness is that you get to be a film star by, you know, being great at acting and being good looking. And then you've kind of got the opportunity to kind of pull the rug from under yourself, be a bit self-deprecating and be funny. And only certain people can do that. So if you think about someone like Tom Cruise, who kind of did the first bit, really good at acting and became a major film star, he's not funny.
No.
So he can't kind of play with that image.
No one fancies Tom Cruise.
No, not at all.
I've tried to. I've like looked at him. I've done A Clockwork Orange and I've done like, right, you've got it. This guy has ticks all the boxes, but nothing.
No, very there's odd. Nothing often. But yeah. Like if you think about someone, say like George Clooney, and he did the same thing. He was absolutely gorgeous, you know, became a major film star, funny.
Yeah.
And then everybody loved
there's
him.
There's a real mythology about this idea that women like, well, people do like machismo and stuff, but actually the narrative is be self-deprecating, have a nice personality, have charisma,
yeah,
and we'll get on with you quite well. And that just goes for everybody. And when you get people like, who's that Andrew Tate running around, yeah, going, be an alpha male, and like it literally dries women up like fucking Sahara.
Horrible.
It's like, no one likes this, Andrew. What are you talking about? Yeah, we just like nice people, make us laugh.
Yeah.
And you can laugh someone into bed. As a comedian, I can tell you that right now.
Yay, love it.
Can I please draw you to one line in this piece that I think you'll enjoy? It's curious to see something as old school as a straight man become white hot box office in 2020.
I mean, what? Like, I just don't understand.
No.
How does that make it past the sub-editor and then the editor?
Yeah.
Like, well, let's have
in
a look
the
at
Guardian.
All of cinematic history. Let's have a look. Let's start from the very first movie that was ever made, you know, to now.
You know what the girls hate? The girls and the gays. They hate hot white men.
They fucking hate it. You just don't see enough of them. You know, just...
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Ava.
Thank you.
And thanks to Athena.
Thank you.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show with no ads and a special extra story, then why not join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club? Go to back.papercutshow.com. The link is in the show notes. And all our supporters get a special shout out. Ava.
It's thank you, Eurotonic, Ellie Rogers.
It's thank you, your bionic, Matthew Trigg.
It's thank you, your stetsasonic, Marie Carlson.
What's that?
It's an old band.
Stetsasonic?
Yeah, Stetsasonic. Oh, I'll just explain later. It's an old band. I've been Miranda Sawyer, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the star revealed that both Nigel Farage and Keir Starmer are regular wearers of the Adidas Gazelle, weeks after Sunak ruined the Adidas Sambas. While we're upset we have to bin our gazelles, we are glad Farage has finally found a soul.
Oh.
See you on Monday.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with Ava Santina and Athena Kablenu. The producer was Liam Tate, assistant producer was Adam Wright, and the audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Music is by Simon Williams, socials by Kieran Leslie, design by Jim Parrott, with original art by Modern Toss. The executive producer is Martin Boytosh, managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, and group editor is Andrew Harrison. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.